Let us go to the house of the Lord. I've been praying about this service earnestly. And I feel that the Lord has laid something upon my heart. I preached this at home a few weeks ago. And the Lord really helped us. And I am not here to be your pastor tonight. But I do believe that the Lord wants to help somebody. Is there anybody in here tonight that you need some help from the Lord? Every time I come into the house of God, I need help. I need help even on the days I'm not in the house of God. Just a quick update on Warren. Brother Crosswhite knows this is not me bragging. I just want to brag on the Lord.
Solo quiero hablar bien del Señor.
Our first service in November as pastor.
Nuestro primer servicio fue en noviembre como pastores.
We had 13 people.
Tuvimos 13 personas.
But since January the 30th.
Pero desde el último día de enero.
God has filled 19 people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are seeing a mighty outpouring of His Spirit. And what a blessing God has given us. I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for the invitation. And I would like to turn your attention to the book of Genesis. Chapter number 13.
Capítulo 13.
We'll begin with verse number 14.
El versículo 14.
I want to thank my interpreter tonight. I don't guess this is your first time. It's my first time.
That's right.
We'll have a good time. God's going to help us.
Amen.
Maybe He'll have to help you. I'm just going to preach. Praise God. Genesis chapter number 13, beginning with verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Abram,
y Jehová dijo a Abraham,
after that Lot was separated from him,
después de que Lot se apartó de él,
lift up now thine eyes,
alza ahora tus ojos,
and look from the place where thou art northward,
y mira desde el lugar donde estás hacia el norte,
and southward, and eastward,
y al oriente,
and westward,
y al occidente.
For all the land which thou seest,
porque toda la tierra que ves,
to thee will I give it,
la daré a ti,
and to thy seed forever.
Y a tu descendencia para siempre.
And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth,
y haré tu descendencia como el polvo de la tierra,
so that if a man can number the dust of the earth,
que si alguno puede contar el polvo de la tierra,
then shall thy seed also be numbered.
También tu descendencia será contada.
Arise,
levántate,
walk through the land and the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then I want you to catch this verse. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. By the help of the Holy Ghost tonight, I want to preach to you a tent and an altar. If you would, put your Bibles down, lift your hands up to heaven. We need God to help us in this place. Almighty God, I pray that you would reach down and touch every heart in this place tonight, God. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. God, anoint my lips that I can speak your word the way that you've spoken to me. God, help us to leave strengthened and uplifted. And in your name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated tonight. A tent in the Old Testament, it represented a faith-driven existence. And it represented a dwelling place for God's presence. A tent dweller has got to be willing to say,
un lugar donde uno se queda en la tienda.
I am not settled on this earth.
Tiene que ser, no me voy a quedar.
I am not rooted permanently in earthly things.
No voy a echar raíces en cosas terrenales.
I can move wherever and whenever. God speaks. Every time we read of Abram pitching his tent, he built an altar. An altar represented covenant with God and a place of worship and communion. Every place he lived became a place of worship. Every move he made left a mark of consecration. And he refused to let geography dictate his spirituality. Abram was not just surviving, Brother Crosswhite. He was trying his best to establish a dwelling place for God's presence wherever he stopped. He wanted a place for God's presence to come and dwell, and he wanted a place to worship him. Lot, on the other hand, was completely enamored by the lights and attractions of the city. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, but he built no altar. And by the time that we get to verse 12 of chapter 14, he no longer even dwells in a tent, but in a house in Sodom. He gained the worldly stability of a house in the city, but it cost him his separation, and ultimately, it cost him his family. Genesis chapter 14. I apologize in advance. Genesis chapter 14, verse 1. I want to read a passage of scripture just to kind of set the picture of what we're going to be talking about tonight. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, and Shemeber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the salt sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer. And in the 13th year, they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth Carnaim and the Zuzims in Ham, the Emims in Sheve Kariathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. And you get down to verse 12, and in the middle of all this chaos, in the middle of all this fighting, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. The world stage is set. All the major powers are gearing up for war. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah are rebelling against the tyranny of Chedorlaomer. They were tired of being in bondage. The scripture gives us a clear scene historically just to show us the validity of the word of God. I find it amusing to me that people begin debate on that the word of God is not valid when it's clear that history lines up. So history shows us that this is a major conflict. At this point, Abraham and Lot are living in the middle of a global conflict. But there's a big difference between Abraham and Lot when this conflict hits. You've got a man who's wealthy. God is with him. But he's sitting on the mountain looking down at all this chaos. But he's got a nephew who got enamored by what the world had to offer. And now he's in his beautiful, nice house in Sodom. But the world has just come crumbling down around him. Abraham, in my mind, probably did not look like a powerful man, a tent dweller. Probably just looks like a nomad. He looks powerless just because of his outward appearance and his lifestyle. He's just a tent dweller. Why would anybody want to be like that, Brother Crosswhite? Let's be honest, most of us here today, if we seen Lot living in the prosperity of the city, and we seen Abraham living in a tent, who in here would pick a tent? If God told you tonight when you left here, I need you to sell your house, your cars, all of your convenient things in life, and I want you to live in a tent and go where I say go and do what I say do, we'd find out who was really committed to living for God tonight. I'm preaching to myself. If God told me to sell all of my goods and go buy a tent, I'm not going to say I would say no, but I'd say, Lord, let me lay a fleece out. Let me do a couple of things first. I'm going to need you to come back and give me confirmation on that, Lord. But Abraham was not powerless. And I know why he wasn't powerless. It's because God's covenant man is never powerless. As long as a tent and an altar are available and in operation, God's children operate in authority. As long as we have a tent and an altar in our life and in operation, we're not going to be caught up in the problems of this world. We're going to deal with trials and tribulations, I promise. Every one of us are going to battle hell at some point. But as long as we're dwelling in a tent and building an altar, God's going to take care of his people. Abraham was a man of heavenly pursuits. The world did not provide any allure for him. He could have cared less what the world had to offer. And because of that mindset, he was able to look down on the battlefield of an evil world from the safety of the Mount of God. What a blessing! What a blessing! In the middle of a global conflict, to be able to look down from the safety of where God had placed him. Not involved with the world. Why? Because he was not of the world. Abraham was not involved in the conflict of kings because he dwelt in a tent. The kings were not interested in a nomad like Abraham. From his outward appearance, it was not evident that Abraham was an extremely wealthy and powerful man. Abraham was able to look down and see the results of chasing earthly riches. Even though he was a man of abundant wealth, he did not set store by his earthly possessions. In Abraham's eyes, it would not have been a life-shattering event for him to lose it all. Why? Because he knew his promise. He knew his provider. And he trusted in the one that created him and made a covenant with him, and not in his possessions. Lot lost everything because he moved into the valley. At first, and it's important, Lot only pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't walk into the city day one. He didn't just give it all up and walk into sin. I promise you, when somebody walks away, it's never an overnight process. Brother Crosswhite, it may just be a missed prayer meeting here. Maybe you chose not to attend house to house this month. Maybe you chose to step away from a Tuesday night service. You know, I'll go to church Sunday. Midweek don't really matter that much. Maybe I won't volunteer for praise in the park this time. I just need some time to recoup and recover. I don't want to come to youth service on a Friday night. I'd rather just go out to eat, have a nice evening at home. Yeah, Lot did the same thing. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. But we get to the point in chapter 14. Lot now dwells in Sodom. He just started with his tent looking that way. He didn't intend to go. I'm just gonna put it in the backdrop. I just want to look normal. When people see my home, they can see Sodom in the background, and they'll know that we're not weird. We're still a part of the world. He didn't want to be a tent dweller like his uncle. He didn't want to have to build an altar like his uncle. And he finds himself entangled in the affairs of the world. A tent wasn't good enough. An altar was too much work. Life in the valley was easy and luxurious. In the valley, Brother Crosswhite, my kids can be like all the other kids. My wife don't have to tend to the tent. We could hire a babysitter to take care of the kids like everybody else in the city. We could hire a cleaning lady to take care of the house. It's not going to be dirty like a tent. It's not going to be bloody like an altar. We just want to live like everybody else lives, Pastor. Uncle Abram, I don't want my kids to be tent dwellers. I want them to fit in.
Yeah.
We see what fit in did to his kids. We see what living in Sodom did to his wife. Lot made it out, but nobody made it out with him.
Right.
Yeah, Lot got out.
Lot pudo salir de ahí, sí.
But look at his daughters.
Pero miren a sus hijas, lo que pasó después.
Look, his wife's a pillar of salt now.
Mira a su esposa, que fue un pilar de sal.
So messed up.
Tanto
because
problema.
He chose to dwell in Sodom.
Porque prefirió vivir en Sodom.
Right.
We end up with the country of Moab, and I'm not going to get into how that happened, but we all know how it happened.
Y todos sabemos la historia de Moab.
Terrible, terrible things.
Bastante terrible.
He just didn't want to live inconveniently.
Él no vivía
inconveniently. Altars were too bloody. And let's face it. Let's face it. All that covenant stuff just isn't necessary. He got lackadaisical with his life. The truth of the matter is, he didn't really think all that his uncle did had to be done. He just thought he could live how he wanted to live, do what he wanted to do, take part of what he wanted to take part of, and it'd all be okay. But when the kings of the east come thundering in like a flood, Lot was caught right in the middle of the conflict. His family put in danger. Life and limb put on the line. Everything taken away from him. And had it not been for a man like Abraham, who was secure and safe serving God, then Lot would have been not only lost, but totally without help. A praying uncle with a tent and an altar was his only saving grace. An uncle with a tent and an altar is the only reason he ever got another chance. And you know what? I'm not just preaching to Lot tonight. Let me preach to some church people for a minute. Abraham could have been bitter and upset with Lot. Let's be honest. I've done all this for my nephew, and look what he goes and gets himself into. In fact, I gave him the first choice of where to live. I gave him all that he has. And he goes to Sodom and ruins it. We all know somebody like that in the church. They'll give you the shirt off their back, but oh my goodness, you don't want to have that shirt when it comes around.
Yeah.
I gave you that shirt. I did that for you.
Yo te hice eso por ti.
So we all understand that Abraham could have been bitter and upset. But thank goodness for Lot, that wasn't the case. Abraham was a godly man that wanted the best for Lot. He made the first move to end the strife between the herdsmen. He offered the first choice of where to live and dwell. And when he heard about what was happening, he armed his men and he pursued after the enemy and he smote them. And it wasn't a minimal recovery that we read about. The Bible says he brought back all the goods and brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. When a person is in fellowship with God, he will not be indifferent to the problems of his brother. When he got word that Lot was in trouble, he did everything he could to go and get Lot back and get his people back and get the goods back. Just because we deal with Lot on a weekly basis, that don't mean that when we get word that they're in trouble, that we don't go after them. We're called to go into the highways and the byways, bid them to come in when they're lost and undone and in trouble. We got to be the ones to go out. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. Not only do we have to dwell in tents, not only do we have to build altars, we got to go out and recover the ones that are lost. Somebody's got to do it. And if not us, then who? Abraham was able to keep the right spirit with Lot due to one thing and one thing alone. It was his constant communication with God. Prayer. Prayer is the greatest weapon we have. I promise you, we've all been to services where pre-service prayer wasn't quite it. And it ain't God's fault. It's our fault. And when a service lacks, it's not going to be God's fault. You can track it back to a quiet prayer room. You can track it back to a lack of prayer. But when a church gets a hold of the burden of prayer and that prayer room gets on fire, everything changes. The whole dynamic of a service will change. The whole trajectory of a church will change. Abraham understood some things before they were ever written down. He understood that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He understood that the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. Had Lot understood that, his imagination about the grandeur of Sodom would have been totally different. Had he been rooted and grounded in an altar and a place of prayer, Sodom never would have been appetizing to him. Our spiritual weapons are the equalizer. How was the big difference between Abraham and Lot? Abraham was a man of prayer, a man of consecration. Lot was living off of his uncle's prayer life. And when it got down to it, it wasn't enough. Young person, hear me. You may have a mama and a daddy that pray and consecrate themselves and read the word, but if you don't get a hold of it for yourself, you won't ever make it out of the valley of Sodom. You'll pitch your tent just looking at it, but by the end of the day, you'll be living in the middle of Sodom. They may carry you through your teenage years. Most young people that are born and raised in the church, they got a drug problem. I had a drug problem my whole life. I was drugged to youth camp. I was drugged to Monday night prayer meeting. I was drugged to Thursday night Bible study. I was drugged to Friday night youth rallies. I was drugged to youth camp twice a year. Even the one that wasn't my age, I was there anyway. If there was a move of God happening, my daddy drugged me there. And unless I hadn't made the choice I made to live for God,
yo tomara la decisión,
it wouldn't have done anything for me.
There you go.
I had two brothers. One died a backslider. Raised on the same pews I was raised on. Given the same opportunities I was given. And I have another one that's alive today, but in a backslidden state. And I'm not pinning roses on me, but the only thing that separates us is that I found a prayer room somewhere. And I still need to pray more. I still need to fast more. But had it not been for a tent and an altar, I would be in the same place that they're in today. I made up my mind as a young man. All I ever want to do, Lord, is dwell in a tent and build an altar. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I realize that spiritual weapons, spiritual warfare, that's how we have to fight battles if we're ever going to make it out of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Abraham had done all to stand. Lot had done just enough to get by. You got to stand. You got to fight. You got to make sure that the armor's on. There was a descent that the psalmist talked about in Psalm 1. There was a descent that happened. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. All he was going to do is just walk by. He's just walking by the ungodly. Just walking by. But then it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. See, he started by walking by the ungodly. And before too long, he found himself standing around with sinners. And you get to the end of that descent, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. They always start out by walking. And then you find them standing around. And where do we find backsliders all too often? Sitting down. Mocking the church. And I'm telling you, they're magnetic. They'll find the next one that comes out. Why do we always find them in the same group of people? The same ones that have always hated the church. The same ones that have always talked about the church. They're mad because they had an uncle that lived in a tent, but they wanted the goods of Sodom. They've got them now. And they're miserable. And misery loves company. And the only way they're ever going to make it out, it's because of people that live in tents and build altars that'll go and recover them and will go and get them. They didn't understand the spiritual warfare was the way that they had to make it. They thought they could fight everything with their mouth. They thought they could put their hands on everything and make it work. But they found out the hard way. Some things only happen by prayer and fasting. When a person is characterized by a tent life on earth, and they live by an altar of communion, God is always there to strengthen and help them. If I can't get anything else across to anybody tonight, it's the necessity of being in the house of God. Dwelling in the house of God. You make this a necessity. You make this a priority. If all else fails, get to the house of God. I don't have enough gas to go to the grocery store. Well, you better make sure that gas will get you to the house of God. Because if it'll get you to the house of God, God will supply the groceries. He'll supply your needs. I've done without some things I wanted in life, but I've never done without one thing I needed. Now, I may have felt like Lazarus' sisters by the time he got there. Lord, by now we're stinking, but he always comes through. He always makes a way, but only for the ones that dwell in tents and build altars. You got to be in the house of God. There was an elder that preached that message years ago. A young man was having trouble and he set him down on the front pew and he began to preach to him, church, Zach, church. When you're in doubt, come to church. When you're hurt and undone, come to church. When you're doing good and you don't need anything, come to church. You got to get in the tent. You got to get in the house of God. You got to make sure you got an altar built that you can lay some things down on. Altars are not about being easy. Altars are bloody work. You got to kill some things on an altar. You're going to have to put your flesh on the altar every day that you live. It's not going to feel good. But if you're going to ascend higher, you're going to have to lay some weight down on the altar. You're going to have to lay down your pound of flesh before you can go on further in your walk with God. And finally, we get to Hebrews chapter number 11, what we call the hall of faith. And we begin to read these verses starting with verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't have a clue where he was going, but he knew God was the one that sent him. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. And that word tabernacles is a Greek word, skene, and it means a tent. That well-known, movable temple of God, after the pattern of which the temple at Jerusalem was built. He dwelt in the house of God. All he knew to do was, I'm going to dwell in the church. It don't matter where I go, what I do. I'm going to dwell in the house of God. I'm going to make sure my children dwell in the house of God and my grandchildren dwell in the house of God. No matter where we go, no matter how much money we have, no how little money we have, we're going to dwell in the house of God. For he looked, he didn't care about Sodom. He didn't care about what it had to offer. He was looking for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise God. Sodom didn't have any allure for him. His tent was good enough because he knew there was a city going to come down one day. He knew that nothing this world had to offer had anything to compare with what God had already promised him. If you're here tonight and the grandeur of the world has already begun to slip into your mind, you better realize you may make it home. You may make it back to the tent. You may get another opportunity to build an altar. But where are your kids going to find themselves? Where are your grandkids going to find themselves? Who's depending on you to live in a tent and build an altar? If tonight, and I ain't no fear preacher, don't get me wrong, but if tonight was the report card that your final grade would be on, what would it look like? Are you caught up in the city? Are you caught up in the lights and the attractions of Sodom and Gomorrah? You may not even be living there, but when you walk out the front door of your place, what are you looking at? When you get up in the morning, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Sodom? Or are you worried about where you're going to build an altar that morning? Are you worried about what you're going to do in this world? Or is your mind on the Lord? Lord, where do you want my tent to be today? Where do I need to build an altar today? As we stand all over this house, they can come to the music. I made up in my mind a long time ago, if I don't have anything in this world, if I don't have anything, I might have to catch a ride to come back to the lighthouse. But I want to be in the house of God. I might have to walk from across town. Start walking at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But church starts at 7 and I'm going to be there. In fact, I'm going to start walking early enough so I can get there at 6:30 and I can build an altar. Because there's going to come a day you're going to need God for something. And you're going to need the people of God for something. And I don't know about you, but I like my odds a whole lot better if there's a tent and an altar in my life. If I'm dwelling in a tent, I like what God has in store for me a whole lot better than if I'm living in a house in Sodom. If tomorrow the greatest trial of my life shows up, I'd much rather find myself walking out of the front flap of a tent headed to a bloody old altar than opening my door to the lights and sounds of the city of Sodom. But I also want to be in a position that if my brother ever calls me because he found out Sodom ain't what he thought it was, Sister Crosswhite. If my brother ever calls me, I find peace in knowing that my family's living in a tent and I've just built an altar. And brother, I'm coming to get you, and we're not just going to recover some. We're going to recover all. I had a brother that never got the opportunity to get out of Sodom. But I'm going to make sure that I'm ready, that if I ever get a chance to get my other brother out of Sodom, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Some of you right now, you've got people living in Sodom. The only way you'll ever help them, it ain't by going to live with them and supporting them. You better just go ahead and put your tent pegs down right here. Go ahead. Go find a sacrifice. Go get the rocks you need. Start building an altar tonight. You don't have to wait till Sunday. The same God that provided for Abraham, the same God that sent Abraham after Lot, he's in this house tonight. And thank God you've been given a pastor who got up this morning and made sure he was equipped in the full armor of God. And he came to the house of God tonight ready to fight for you and to fight for your loved ones. These altars are open tonight if somebody wants to make sure they're living in a tent and building an altar. I'm just a simple Mississippi boy. But I know that all I want to do with my life is dwell in a tent and build an altar. I just want to be what God wants me to be. I just want to go where God wants me to go. And if God never does another thing for me, He's done enough already. God, in your mighty name. Oh, God.
Better is one day.
God, help us tonight, Lord.
Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Yes.
Better is one
day. If I don't have anything else, God, a tent and an altar is enough. A tent and an altar is enough.
Thousands elsewhere. How lovely, Lord, your dwelling place, God Almighty. For my soul longs,
yes,
and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied.
Holy Ghost!
within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings.
And don't think Abraham was perfect. He wasn't.
No pienses que Abraham era perfecto, que no lo era.
Abraham made a bad mistake.
Abraham, sí, tuvo un error.
God had given him a promise.
Dios le dio una promesa.
And it took too long.
Pero tomó mucho tiempo.
So he took it into his own hands.
Así que lo hizo con sus propias manos.
And Ishmael was born out of that.
E Ismael nació producto de eso.
An unholy union.
Era una unión no santa.
That Egyptian handmaid was harmless in Egypt, Brother Crosswhite. Harmless in Egypt, but she was deadly when she got in the tent.
Ella no podía hacer ningún daño cuando era egipcia, pero cuando llegó a la tienda pudo hacer mucho daño.
But when he realized the problem, he got it out of the tent.
Pero cuando se dio cuenta del problema, salió.
Why? Because the tent was sacred.
Porque la tienda era sagrada.
The house of God was sacred.
La casa de Dios era sagrada.
Abraham made it because he cleaned the tent out.
Abraham,
he built another altar.
Y construyó otro altar.
He continued going back to the one that gave him the promise.
Aquel que le dio la promesa.
Oh, yes. It ain't about being perfect.
No, se trata de ser perfecto.
Abraham wasn't perfect. He made mistakes.
Abraham,
Moses wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. David wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. But they knew the importance of the house of God and building an altar when those mistakes came up.
De la casa de Dios, cuando las cosas se pusieron mal.
I'm done tonight.
Ya terminé esta noche.
But somebody needs to get a hold of this.
Jesus.
You're staring at Sodom too long. You better get your eye off of Sodom tonight. It ain't what it looks like. It ain't what you think it is. Yeah, it'll be fun for a season. But what'll it cost you? Please, I'm begging somebody tonight, don't end up like Lot. Don't end up like Lot. Just go ahead and get comfortable living in a tent. Go ahead and make building altars a part of your life. Come on, let's reach out and touch the Lord right now.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. That I would seek to see your beauty, find in you the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. One day, better is one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.